Hamas releases its last American hostage just hours before Trump's trip to the Middle East. Lefties in the media now insist they didn't hide Joe Biden's decline, it was their sources who lied. And Homeland Security is investigating whether Los Angeles County gave our Social Security benefits to illegals. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so first up, a Florida man was arrested after he ran right into a hotel with his car. Just can't do that. It was in Ohio. They tracked this Florida man down on Saturday. And they said, why did you crash into the Elyria Hotel and then flee the scene? Police officers were called. It was just after 10 a.m. I mean, he ran right into this glass wall with his Chevy Tahoe and then ran away from the scene. And they identified him, Simon Aguilar of Fort Pierce, Florida. He was a guest. And he said he allegedly moved the SUV to a nearby business after the crash. They recovered the vehicle and arrested him. No injuries, thankfully. Charges are still pending. You know, you're not going to run away from something like that. Just FYI. Okay. A man survives a bear attack in Gulf Breeze. What? People like to... There are a lot of bear in Florida. And you may not really think that because you're like, Florida, what? But there really are. And wildlife officials say that a man let his dog out early Thursday morning when a bear bit him on the leg. He called 911. Dispatch arrived to control the bleeding until the ambulance then arrived. Our dispatchers helped him control until the ambulance arrived. The neighbor who lives a few homes down caught video of two bears walking in their driveway 20 minutes before the attack happened. Florida Fish and Wildlife is investigating. They say traps have been placed around the property and the bear will be humanely killed if caught. They say that relocating the bear is not a viable option because it'll put another community at risk. So that's kind of the danger of that. So it's not an endangered species. It's just one you got to control. That's it. But good night. Oh, another day, another gator in Florida, what? This time in Sanford. They love, like, walking up to doors.
Yeah.
And knocking on them. There's one gator we talked about last week that had a folding chair on its head. Well, now these gators walked up to another neighbor's front door. The alligator raised its head at one point. And video shows that officers approached because they immediately called Florida Fish and Wildlife. And they were trying to use a rake. They were assessing the situation. And the alligator growled at one of the officers. They were finally able to kind of get him under control. And they relocate him to a retention pond. But they didn't have a trapper there with them. But they were able to get it. It took a little bit of time. And they said, one of the neighbors said the cops were banging on my living room window. And they asked me if I had a stick. And then I checked my Ring camera. And I saw a giant gator through my doorbell camera. She couldn't even open her door. And she was like, I think you're going to need something more than a stick. So then she gave him a big old rake. But she said thanks to the Sanford PD because they had the situation handled. But they're most active gators from dusk until dawn. So basically, if you walk out at night in Florida and you're near water, you're probably going to get your feet chewed off by a gator. And then you're just going to be stumpy. And then you're going to have your stumps chewed off until nothingness. Then at one point, you're just going to be walking around on your knee stumps.
Yeah, nobody wants
and
that.
Just keeps going, right? It's like a Monty Python scene. Just be aware of this. Just be aware of it. Let's see here. This is so gross. Okay, so a Florida woman was broke into a locked bathroom and attacked her boyfriend with a kitchen knife because he was texting some other ladies. He was texting some other ladies. She was charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, stemming from what officers said was a domestic dispute. It turned violent. The victim said he was using the restroom. They began arguing with the closed door, and then she was able to break into the locked bathroom door and confront him with a kitchen knife, and she was swinging it like she was slicing it in up and down side-to-side motions. So he got a cut on his tricep. She fought back. They had to put her in a chokehold, so she was arrested, taken to Broward jail. Gold Co. is making it easy to take that first step toward protecting your savings. Just fill out a quick form, no commitment, just free information. And then they'll ship you your free 2025 gold and silver kit straight to your door. No shipping fees, no strings, Just a free info kit to help you understand how gold and silver can fit into your financial plan. I'm a big believer in doing your research, and this kit is a great place to start. So I'm really excited to be partnering with GoldCo because not only do they support my show, which I truly appreciate, but they've made the whole process of buying precious metals super straightforward. Because if you're a fan of the show, GoldCo is also going to tell you how to qualify for unlimited free bonus silver on eligible orders. If you qualify, you can even get a free half-ounce silver Ronald Reagan coin, totally free. Don't wait. Take that first step towards protecting and diversifying your savings with GoldCo. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
70% of Americans are financially stressed, but 40% of those people are taking multiple days off work to cope with it. If that's your plan, you're doing it wrong.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
How does this happen? I want to ask an actual expert. I only pretend to be a doctor on air. I kid. But I wanted to ask, you know, an actual expert and somebody that I've watched forever, Dr. Drew. Everybody knows Dr. Drew. He's the host of Ask Dr. Drew. You can follow him on X. You can find him at drdrew.com. And he joins us now by video. Dr. Drew, so good to see you. And I'm so sorry to read that in a conversation with someone, you said that you also had prostate cancer. So this is a very familiar territory to you. So how
it's
are we
true.
Here?
So let me just tell you my relationship with prostate cancer. So I've had a prostatectomy, I've had radiation, and it's an exceedingly common illness. If it's a cancer, if you got to get, it's the one you want to get because most of it is low grade. Most of it can be treated early and aggressively and handled, which does not appear to happen in this case, but okay, there's that. And I'm part of the Prostate Cancer Foundation. I help fund research. I've been treating prostate cancer for 40 years. So I know this landscape very well.
Very well. And this is when I was reading about former President Biden's diagnosis. So one out of 10 on the Gleason scale, he's got a 9 in terms of it being aggressive. It's metastasizes in his bones.
Yes.
That sounds very serious, but it also sounds, does that, is that indicative of it being a long-term problem? What does that tell you when it's at that stage?
If it were some man that walked into my office who hadn't been evaluated in 5 years and I found an elevated PSA and a nodule on his prostate, and lo and behold, we biopsy it, it's cancer, we do a bone scan, we find mets, okay, that's maybe 5% of cases, 2% if it's somebody being followed regularly, that it would present all of a sudden on a metastatic basis. That did not happen here. In fact, when my spidey sense started going up is when they said, oh, we noticed a nodule. Oh, lo and behold, it's metastatic. No. First of all, the digital rectal exam has largely been abandoned these days. We follow the PSA. The idea that the President of the United States was not getting a PSA at least annually does not pass the sniff test.
Wow.
His PSA was up. They biopsied it. They found it. I don't know if they treated it or not initially, but one of the really interesting aspects of treatment of metastatic prostate cancer is the stepwise approach includes what's called androgen deprivation therapy, for which the common side effect is cognitive slowing, muscle loss, falls. Lo and behold, we have certainly seen that in the last 2 years.
Wow. I did not know that. That would explain a lot on that. I mean, we knew he was having some cognitive difficulties that would obviously further compound it. We're talking to Dr. Drew for those who are just turning in. I was reading that there's this test, and you just mentioned it, that all the presidents get as it relates to their prostate. You know, Bush had it, Obama had it, Trump had it, and it was made public. There's questions as to whether or not Biden's was, you know, properly reported. Do you think that this was something that he knew about before he ran for his second term?
Oh, for sure. In my humble opinion, I don't know the case, but the question, really interesting question is, did he know before the first term? Ooh. That's the more interesting question. Like, how long has this diagnosis been around, and what have the treatments been, and what kind of decision making went into the treatments that they did use? Look, if you're dealing with the President of the United States and he progresses and develops metastatic disease, and you know that androgen deprivation therapy could make his cognition worse, you might delay that treatment. So there's a lot going on here. Plus, we know he has Parkinsonism. We can see that. Any medical student that couldn't see that on the videos would be remediated. You can see it like you can see a rash and evaluate a picture of a dermatological condition. You can do the same thing with neurological disorders. He had Parkinsonism. We just don't know due to what. And it seems to have gotten worse, as I would expect it to, if indeed he were getting androgen deprivation therapies.
So there could be a question as to, was he compromised? You know, I mean, obviously, cognitively, we had those questions, but with this treatment and all of that,
you're struggling with this, and this is the part that disgusts me. The reality is, we've been gaslit, we've been given inadequate information, incomplete information about the leader of the free world. Right. We're still being gaslit at this moment where they say, oh, we found a nodule. Lo and behold, metastatic disease. No, did not happen that way. I guarantee you it didn't happen that way. At very minimum, they were following his PSA, which they're not telling us about, because that will tell a different story. They're still being gaslit, and I'm telling you what, every journalist in this country that blew smoke on his behalf about how great he is, how he's sharp as a tack, has, you know, photographic memory, you got to wake up this morning and examine yourself. You've been delusional, you've been misled, you've been played, and you have been attacking people who bring up the issue, what's going on? We should know what is happening to the President of the United States. This is all disgusting, and it has scandal written all over it, Dana.
I'm so glad that you said this, because people asking this, we're not trying to be mean. We're not, you know, no one wants to see anyone struggle.
The President of the United States, it's not, right. It's not Dana Lesher, it's not your private health care. And is evidence that what was being told to us by his physician team was kind of incomplete or inadequate, or how did they arrive at suitable for the job? How do we know what that was? Because we don't have criteria as it is. We need to think about that too. We should have criteria for what I can do as a physician if I start getting too old or having cognitive impairment or flying a plane or being a lawyer. I mean, this is every important profession has guidelines or at least evaluations that people must be subjected to. But no, not the President of the United States.
I like to, Dr. Drew, how you're really going at the suggestion that I'm seeing from a lot of his inner circle and the press that, well, maybe he just didn't get the health care that he needed, and that's why this was caught so late. I've seen people float that narrative, and I'm bewildered by that, because as the highest office in the land, you have the best health care. I mean, it's the most powerful country on earth.
The only possible way something like that happened is if they were following his PSAs, and it got elevated, and they said, Mr. President, we need to do a biopsy. And he said, no, let's wait 6 months. Well, let's wait a year. That happens. That does happen where patients dictate the care. And it really happens a lot with doctors that take care of celebrity or important patients. They sort of succumb to the patient rather than making a collaborative decision with the patient, which I've seen that happen more than I have. Michael Jackson is sort of the supreme example of that. But the fact is, still, there would have been a diagnosis, there would have been some treatment, and we have been blinded to all of that. And we have seen him decline, and some of that decline could easily be explained on the basis of many of the aspects of prostate cancer. We just don't know which yet. We don't have the details. Stop gaslighting. Stop it. And stop getting angry at people who just ask questions about the leaders of the free world. We have every right to ask that question. It's not Joe Schmo whose HIPAA privileges are being compromised. This is not that. This is someone who's flying our plane. And I'd like to know, sir, are you able to fly this aircraft? Very simple. You don't give me every detail, but don't stop lying and gaslighting. Stop it.
And this might be kind of a difficult question, but his prognosis, I mean, without knowing, you know, more details.
Terminal. Guaranteed terminal.
What would the timeline on that be?
Is it a terminal condition? My guess would be, again, based on the incomplete information we have, 2 years.
Wow.
2 years at sort of on average.
So if he would have stayed on the ticket, he wouldn't have lasted.
It would be 4 years, but on average, I would say about 2 years from what's being described.
So if he would have made it to the ticket, he would not have, I mean, theoretically, from what we know, probably wouldn't have lasted his term.
Well, he certainly would need some very aggressive treatments. And there are a lot of really interesting things going on right now. We've been funding research at the Prostate Cancer Foundation. They now can attach radium to single cells, not radium, but radioactive isotopes to single cells and destroy every single prostate cancer cell that's out there. The problem is prostate cancer is a brilliant tumor, and it learns how to adjust to that, and the tumor does come back inevitably. But there are things being done that can delay this, and the field is moving rapidly. So maybe that 2-year estimate that I'm basing on currently available resources Maybe that could be expanded to 4 years or 6 years or 8 years, and then you end up dying of something else first.
Does it frustrate you that instead, I feel like they should be using this opportunity to say, men, go get screened. Men, check your prostate health.
Of course. And you know who's getting screened? You know, and you know who's we're doing the least well with is African-American men. So if your administration, that you claim to be so concerned about the average person and the African-American population, you should be crying from every hilltop that black men get more aggressive disease, they're diagnosed at a more advanced stage, and we need to do a much better job of bringing them in. It's appalling. I've been very concerned about that for a long time. No, nothing at all. Doesn't that tell you something?
It says a lot. Last quick question for you. We're talking with Dr. Drew. He's joining us by video, and obviously we're discussing this Biden cancer diagnosis. I wonder his very inner circle, you know, Jill Biden, his kids. I mean, this is not something you can't hide it from the public. You can't hide it from the family. I know every family member deals with something in a different way, but I'm sorry, this is elder abuse. This has been elder abuse.
Well, so what sometimes happens, so we have seen evidence that Joe Biden has something called anosognosia, which is a lack of insight that comes from neurological and psychiatric disorders. They just don't see what's happening to them. And what some families do when there's a patriarch in the family, they'll gather around them and support that denial. Go, don't upset him. We don't really want him to think that he's failing. He's still doing a good job. Let's get behind him. The family becomes part of that delusional process of denial. We see it in alcoholism. We see it in all kinds of disorders. It's possible that they have just been in on the anosognosia and unwilling to look at the reality of what's going on here. I don't know what's going on with his medical team, but they should not be in on that. It'd be very interesting to know what actually happened here. The most important thing is that we get to the truth. If we don't get to the truth on so many of these astonishing things that have happened in the last 5 years, it will happen again. Yeah. I don't want anybody to be punished for this. I want to know what happened. I want to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Thank you so much for underscoring the fact that we have the right to ask these questions and that it's not born of maliciousness. We have every right as voters, as Americans.
And we can feel compassion for the man. I have prostate cancer. I know what it is. My friends, my patients developed this disease. It's nasty. It's hard being biological. It's hard getting older. Yes, yes. And this particular elderly man is the president of the United States, and that is a special case and needs to be handled differently than the average patient with prostate cancer.
Exactly. Dr. Drew, we're praying for your swift recovery as well.
I'm fine. This has been going on for years with me, and I expect it will continue to go on. So
you're such a fun. You're like, I got this. It's no big deal. It's all right. Well,
I had a prostatectomy 14 years ago. I'll tell you what pissed me off about my prostate cancer. I got it when I was so young. I was like, oh, I knew it was in my 70s, but 50, really? Oh, not fair, but it's been fun.
Not fair at all. Dr. Drew, thank you so much. It's so good to see you. Folks, make sure you check him out. Dr. Drew on X, ask Dr. Drew as well, drdrew.com. Always a pleasure. Thanks so much. We'll talk again soon. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends at Kelt Gen 3 Sub 2K. It is a brand new fold in half, now available in 10 millimeter. And it folds super fast with the optics all staying in place, which is super nice. And it deploys just as quickly also. And it has that rotating, twisting of the rotating forend, and that's what just boop, boop. That's what it doesn't sound like that, but it ought to. Folds quickly in half, optics and all. 16 and a half inches, to be precise. It takes Glock mags. You got a 15-round standard, you know, Glock 20 mag. You got a lot of capacity for whatever your shooting needs are. Has an internal buffer for softer recoil, 5-pound trigger pull for greater accuracy. Rails up top for accessories, integrated M-lock. It's great for home defense, backpacking, whatever your needs are. Kel-Tec making everything right here in the U.S. of A with American labor, parts, everything. That's in a Florida-based company. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. Innovation Performance, Kel-Tec, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, satellite images show an apocalyptic wall of dust swallowing Chicago. Lots of dust. It can hide all the crimes that are happening there. It's a big old giant wall of dust that they can see on satellite imagery showing the storm swallowing highways and buildings and covering about 2.6 million people. It triggered visibility warnings, halted traffic, left residents choking on dust. It was only the second time in history that the National Weather Service issued a dust storm warning like that for the area. So very, very interesting. Let's see. Also, we've got a school evacuated. Oh, bless him. This, I mean, you always want to bring the cool thing to show and tell, right? So, this was in Derbyshire, in Britain. A school had to be evacuated and an army bomb disposal expert dispatched after a pupil brought a hand grenade to a show-and-tell assembly yesterday, Kane. The youngster unexpectedly produced the explosive device at his primary school in Derbyshire, and the head teacher said she was unsure if it was live, so they took the boy outside and placed the bomb behind a substantial tree in the car park while they called emergency services. And they said that it was safe. But the police did praise the quick thinking staff. So that was very interesting. It was probably drilled out in the middle, but she didn't know. Let's see. No. Mom's left four kids in an unlocked car with a bag of weed while they went and got drunk at the bar, says the police. This is coming out of Arizona. There's some moms. They had to go and convince the police that they left their kids in the parking lot while they went to use the bathroom, but they had been drinking in the bar. They had Glendale Police Department that responded. Body cam footage from the incident. It showed a very chaotic evening in the parking lot. They responded about 11 p.m. because someone said there was kids running around the parking lot alone. And so they searched for the kids' parents, could not find any other adults around. And the child led witnesses to a car where three more small kids were inside, two of whom were in car seats. And in the video, they said that the police said that they were looking for the parents, and they said, they were in the car, and they had a large bag of marijuana, and they're just right there, sitting there, and the kids were crying in the background. They searched businesses nearby. 45 minutes later, the mothers finally returned to their car. An officer said, "Hey, your kids have been here for hours," and she goes, "Hours?" And he goes, "Well, where were you?" And she said, "I went inside to go to the bathroom." And, you know, obviously that was a lie. She was in the bar drinking. And she said that they were in a crumble cookie store, and that's not true. So they were actually at a bar called Salt Tacos and Tequila. They were in that bar next to the crumble cookie place. And so, and they smelled like alcohol, said police, and they slurred their speech. They were both arrested. Fire department had to take their kids to the hospital just to do a welfare check. But yeah, don't do that. Don't go to the bar and leave your kids in a parking lot at 11 o'clock at night with a bag of weed. I don't get some of this stuff. Diaper shorts are the new thing, thanks to Sydney Sweeney. Oh my gosh, I hate fashion. Do you know what diaper shorts look like? They make you look fat. They make you look fat and like you have a load in your pants. They're not attractive. It doesn't make you look like a butt. It makes you look like you did something with it in your pants. And it's bad. It looks like a giant diaper. Do not wear those poofy shorts. No one looks good in them, ever.
I was rightfully told this was fashion. It's not fashion.
This is a psyop by aliens to see who has to be culled and who doesn't. If I were an alien, I would be like, let's convince people, see how, if we can get them to dress really stupid. And then the ones that do, we're going to cull them before we come down and start terraforming the planet. Because we're going to keep some humans around that might be good for something. But these, no, not these. Yeah, they don't wear those. Those and the high-waisted pants. I can't even believe some of these fashion trends that are coming up in headlines. I'm like, none of this is cool. Like, not a bit of it. And let's see here. I had another one. I'm going to go back up. I had one more that I wanted to make sure that I got to. Where is this one at? We got that one. Oh, a traveler with measles was at the Newark airport while infectious. Okay, can we not? Can we not do that? If you're sick, stay home. Don't go to the airport. Okay, can we talk about this Angel Reese thing? Audio somebody 33. So Angel Reese got mad at Caitlin Clark over a foul. And apparently, a lot of the video says that Angel Reese was running her mouth and all this stuff before this happened. This is audio of this. They were on the court, and apparently, Caitlin Clark fouled her, and Reese was livid. Listen to this.
Strong on a three. And look out. Caitlin Clark pushes Angel Reese, and Angel Reese gets right up into Caitlin Clark. Afterwards, has something to say as Clark walks away. We know there are always increased eyeballs, energy, and attention around the matchups between Reese and Clark. And Angel Reese is still going after Caitlin Clark in the aftermath.
Everyone in the arena had to know this foul was coming. As soon as you saw Angel Reese wide open, you knew that Caitlin Clark was going to come
in. So apparently they said it was a flagrant foul. Angel Reese was saying, what the blank is wrong with you, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, she's fouled. How many people has she fouled before? How many people have reason? They come on. And now they're like, oh, well, Caitlin Clark's white, so we got to look at this as a, oh, this is going to be a racism investigation. There's legit, the WNBA announced yesterday that they're launching an investigation into comments from a fan or fans toward Reese during the season opener between Fever and Sky in Indiana 1, 93 to 58. And this is the dumbest thing. There was nothing made towards her. Angel Reese is living in Caitlin Clark's shadow, and she's pissed. And when you can't do it on the court and you got to do this nonsense off the court, that just underscores that you are not as good of a player as she is. The end. That's what this is all about. That is what this is all about. And I don't know. If I were Caitlin Clark, I would have stopped being nice a hell of a long time ago. The only reason half of you ladies are getting checks is because she's bringing eyeballs into the arena. Let's not lie about this. Why are you going after your cash cow? Got to be kidding me. Oh my gosh! And she was saying, "And where? It's just crazy." I mean, did you watch this game?
I saw the clip. I didn't watch the game.
What do you think of this, Steve?
I mean, there was a post game presser where she was just like kept pushing it off, like she wasn't living rent free in her head. But it was tough for Angel Reese to not talk about it. It seems like they're just. I'm not going to say what everybody else is thinking, but it seems pretty obvious.
Yeah. It does. And it's just like, why can't you just play the game? And why does everybody got to make it about race and everything else? I mean, for the love. I mean, all they've been doing to this player is just crapping on her every second they can get. I mean, honestly, like, she must really love this game for the abuse that she is taking from the whole damn league for playing it. It's asinine. You know, she's a good player. Why in the hell would you apologize for being a good player? Good grief. They announced this no space for hate platform. The WNBA did. Maybe the WNBA can just, like, I don't know, focus on getting fans in and not, like, you know, constantly hanging out the player that's getting all the eyeballs, not hanging her out to dry every day. I don't know. It's just like, I don't want to watch it because it seems like a bunch of drama queen bitching. That's what it seems like. Every single time the WNBA now comes into headlines, it's because women are acting like women, and you want to know why nobody watches these damn games. Because you just got to play. Men don't do, well, I mean, LeBron, but men don't do this stuff like this. Stop it. If you aren't, some players are not as good as other players, and it has nothing to do with race. Trying to make it about race is evil. Stop it.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.